approach Super Bowl 49, it seems appropriate that we talk with one of the few that had the rare ability to reach the starting lineups in both the National Football League as well as Major League Baseball.
Batting fourth, playing right field, number 33, Brian Jordan.
When you hear Brian Jordan's name announced these days, it's usually on TV as a game analyst or in the context of helping and supporting children in Atlanta and its surrounding communities. Before, he was a multi-sport star at Milford Mill High School just outside of Baltimore. He followed that by playing baseball and football for the University of Richmond. I began our conversation by asking Brian when he came to the realization that he could be a two-sport athlete beyond the college level.
Well, you know, it was always my dream, and my dream started at 6 years old. I wanted to be different than any kid out there. I wanted to be the first two-sport professional athlete, and my dad was an athlete, my mom was an athlete, and my sister's brother was an athlete, so I dreamed about it at a young age, and I worked really hard to achieve it, and I played three different sports, basketball, football, and baseball, and basketball being my first love, but of course, I knew I couldn't get to the NBA. I wasn't tall enough, nor I felt like I had the skills to get to that level, so I decided just to play baseball and football.
Now, during your time at Richmond, much of the talk in the sports world, especially when it came to two sports stars, was Bo Jackson. Was he a guy you looked up to in that particular realm, someone you could emulate and someone that showed that a two-sport athlete in those days was possible?
Well, we both came up around the same time, and I remember my dad, when I was a little kid, always said, "Son, always work hard because there's always somebody out there better than you." And when I went to the University of Richmond, every spring in baseball, we get to travel south. And it was just amazing. You know, my dad made that comment to me. And we played Auburn. I got to see Bo Jackson for the first time. And when I tell you, he is an extraordinary athlete, power, speed. It was just amazing having the opportunity to play against Bo Jackson and watching his talent. You know, it really motivated me to continue to achieve goals and continue to work hard. And then I left Auburn and we went to Florida State, where I saw this young man named Deion Sanders. Mm. So on that same trip, I got to see two great two-sport athletes. And at the time, it was baseball. I saw Deion run a race on the track, jump the fence, change into his baseball uniform, and play baseball. So it was just an amazing time watching those guys. It really motivated me to continue on with my dreams.
5 days before his NFL debut, Deion Sanders was playing baseball for the New York Yankees. But by Sunday, Deion had traded spikes for hikes and became the first man to hit a home run and return a punt for a touchdown in the same week.
Deion drifts to the left, takes it on a 32, dropped it. Picked it up, one man missed him, another man missed him, now he's going wide off to the right. Deion to the 25, to the 30, to the 35, the 40, the 45, the 50, the 45, the 40. My God, Deion Sanders is going to score! My God!
Deion, soon to be your teammate, but the Cardinals, the St. Louis Cardinals, selected you in the first round of the 1988 Major League Baseball draft. Then in 89, you were chosen in the seventh round by the Buffalo Bills, only to be cut in training camp, and then the Atlanta Falcons picked you up, where you played with Deion Sanders, also a member of the defensive backfield, along with you. Also enjoyed success, as you just said, professionally in baseball and football simultaneously. Did you ever notice the transition from the two sports affect him at all, since he was playing for the first 2 years, he was playing with the Falcons and the Yankees?
Well, you know what? It was an amazing story, and it was a trial and a test for me. I was actually supposed to be drafted first round in the NFL, and I was invited to the Senior Bowl, where before that week started, I was projected to be a third-round draft pick right out of college. And I had a great week of practice, and I got a chance to play in front of Dan Reeves and a lot of NFL coaches and scouts. And they projected me to be the first safety taken in the draft. The first quarter of that football game, I broke my leg and dislocated my ankle. And honestly, I was really surprised I still got drafted. But I was given the opportunity by the Buffalo Bills, which every doctor I saw at the combine said that I wouldn't play in the NFL because the injury was so severe. Well, in 3 months, I was running full speed ahead, and I was in camp. I had the best camp of all defensive backs for Buffalo, and Marvin Levy called me in his office because I didn't get my blue book taken away. They said I was a 46 man on a 45 man roster. And the very next day, I got a call from the Falcons, and I was in Atlanta. But, you know, watching Deion Sanders, watching Bo Jackson, it really motivated me to continue on my dreams. Even though I had that severe injury, you know, I could have walked away from the game of football, but I was motivated because people told me I couldn't do something. And, you know, it was easy from there. I started every game with the Falcons for 3 years, and the Cardinals gave me a guaranteed deal to get away from football. So I couldn't give up that opportunity, and it turned out pretty good. 15 years of Major League Baseball career in the NFL.
So was that guaranteed contract, was that the deciding factor for you to play baseball exclusively?
Well, I think family had a lot to do with it. My first 3 years in the NFL, I was very aggressive. You know, my body was getting beat up, and with the security of baseball, I had to make that decision based on the family. We had my daughter, so the family was starting, and I wanted to make sure that they were going to be taken care of for a long time.
As a safety in the NFL from 89 to 91, you had 5 interceptions and 4 sacks, led the team in tackles for a playoff team in 1991, all while playing in the Cardinals minor league system. And then, as you said, in June of 92, you signed exclusively with the Cardinals. And the Cardinals in the mid to early 90s had a lot of veterans on their team, some players that were on those Cardinal teams of the 80s that went to a lot of World Series, went to multiple World Series, Ozzie Smith and Willie McGee, two prominent ones. How important was it for you to have those older players help you along in your development and your full transition into baseball?
Wow. The two of those guys were my role models. They taught me a lot. You know, they taught me how to be humble. They taught me how to play hard, give 110%, and learn the mental part of the game. People don't realize baseball is more mental than physical. And I learned my lesson early on, and Ozzie and Willie was always there to tutor me and help me along. And, you know, I still go to fantasy camp with the Cardinals and still get to see Ozzie and Willie down at those camps. But they meant a lot to me. I always could rely on those guys, and they helped me become a really good baseball player because I was so raw at baseball. I really didn't know the game, and they taught me everything I knew.
Is Ozzie still doing the backflips?
No, he's not doing the backflips, but I tell you what, he still has that gold glove and shortstop, even now at 60 years old.
Wow, excellent. Well, along those same lines, and you might have just touched on it, was there a sport that had a greater learning curve for you personally?
Yes, baseball. I used to, when I was playing in the NFL, I used to call baseball players wimps. And then all of a sudden I played my first 162-game season, and I really had a new respect for the game of baseball because, you know, the things that you had to endure for all those days, the mental part of it. You go 0-20, you get in a slump. You know, you have to be mentally tough to bounce back. You get physically beat up, and you have to wake up and play that next game. It's a grind, baseball. So I felt like baseball was harder, you know, and definitely it was a longer learning curve trying to adjust to the great pitchers that you face every single day. But so I had fun learning the game of baseball.
A liner to right. Jordan on the run and a dive to preserve the tie.
Well, we talked about the speed of the Cardinals outfielders, and Brian Jordan shows you that speed. When that ball was first hit, there was a big gap in right center field, and he just closed the gap very quickly and preserved the tie.
Now, the 1996 season is where the Cardinals experienced a turnaround. Your numbers included 104 RBIs and a .310 average. In beating the Padres in Game 3 of the Division Series, you made several defensive gems in the field, went 3-for-5 with 3 runs driven in, the two most important coming in the top of the ninth with a 2-run home run off Trevor Hoffman, which helped finish off the sweep of San Diego and send St. Louis to the LCS. Was that a game and a moment that you had been waiting for, not just for yourself, but for the team's sake, after several years of being mostly a third or fourth place club?
Well, you know, yes. It was a long time coming. We had a lot of young talent early in my career, but we just didn't have enough to get there. And you talk about learning curve. Those first 3-4 years with the Cardinals was definitely a learning curve. And then you get Tony La Russa as your manager, who really implemented some discipline and really, he's a genius to me as a manager. He's always into the game. He makes every move possible in a baseball game. He controls everything, but he knows his stuff. And I think he put us in a position to where we learned the game and we were able to make plays. We were very athletic, very talented, and that was the breakthrough season for us. And it really felt good to not only play great defense, but to kind of be that hero in Game 3 of a Hall of Fame pitcher closer in Trevor Hoffman, to be able to hit that home run and win that ball game. I mean, that was probably one of the greatest moments of my baseball career.
One out, one on. The runner goes on the 3-2 pitch, and here's a drive to left. Ricky Henderson back, all the way to the fence. It's carrying, and it's gone. Although Bochy is impassive on the bench, that was a dagger through the heart.
In 1998, you were there for Mark McGwire's 70 home run season, breaking the single season record at the time. Obviously, that record has lost significance with McGwire's admissions to having used performance-enhancing drugs. But getting to watch him up close that season, were there times when you sometimes transitioned from player to fan, as we all did, rooting for a home run each time at bat and kind of losing track of the game situation? You just became, like I said, just became a fan?
Well, I became a fan, but people don't realize how much pressure that was hitting behind Mark McGwire.
Right.
I knew I had to perform at a very high level every game, because if not, then he would get walked every game. So he made me look good because they had to pitch to him. And every opportunity I got to beat a team, I took advantage of it. But I did become a fan because I felt like it was a great race. Baseball needed something really big because we did have the strike previous. So the chicks dig the long ball. I mean, it was that type of season. And to see Sammy Sosa, two really good guys, good personalities go at it, it was fun. And, of course, like you said, I hated to see Mark have to go through what he did with the steroid era. I still think you have to put the bat on the ball and have good hand-eye coordination and you know, steroids can't see the bat to the ball. But it's a shame. And I love Mark. He was a great teammate. And it was fun to watch.
After the 98 season, you went to the Atlanta Braves, managed by Bobby Cox. And with that, you got to play for the three managers that were recently inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Joe Torre with the Cardinals, who would then be replaced, as you said, by Tony La Russa, and then Bobby Cox upon joining the Braves. What do you remember about each of those managers that made them unique?
Wow, everybody was different. You know, I'd say Joe Torre was one of those guys that you could always look to getting great advice. He would always embrace you, and he taught you the game. And I always appreciated that from Joe. Through the good, through the bad, he was always the same. Then you get a manager like Tony La Russa, who is a guy that controls every aspect of the game, which is really different, you know, from an athletic standpoint. You know, you get on first base. I was one of those guys, I like to be aggressive and steal, but, you know, I had to wait for Tony La Russa to tell me to steal and where to play. played defensively. He controlled the game. So totally different managing styles. And then Bobby Cox was definitely a manager that I always wanted to play for. Really laid back, sort of that grandfather atmosphere. He just allowed you to go out and play. And I really respected that and appreciated that. And it was an honor for me to just be able to play with three Hall of Fame managers in my career.
That 1999 season may have been your best, with 23 home runs, a career high, 115 driven in, and an all-star appearance. The Braves went on to win the National League pennant for the fifth time in the decade. Was the move to Atlanta a relatively easy change for you, since you were certainly accustomed to the city from playing with the Falcons, and you were getting to play with a team that had dominated the league during the decade?
I think it was all about the organization and about the manager. And to have that opportunity to play for them was a blessing for me. I mean, I had many options as a free agent to play in New York, to play with Baltimore, to come home. But when you got a chance to play with three Hall of Fame pitchers in Smokes, Clavin, and Maddox, you know you truly have a good chance of winning every year. So I definitely jumped at that opportunity, and it was a lot of fun playing behind those guys. And along with Chipper Jones, Andrew Jones, it was really a well-put-together ball club.
You touched on this earlier about when you transitioned from football to baseball. Knowing what we know now about football players and injuries that linger well after their playing days are over, are you, I guess the best word is thankful, are you thankful in a sense that you played a majority of your professional athletic career in baseball rather than football?
You know, everybody asks me, do I have any regrets? And I think the one regret I have is I wasn't ready to give up football when I did. I was just ready to take off. I was alternate in the Pro Bowl, and, you know, everybody started recognizing who Brian Jordan was. I mean, my idols in football was Ronnie Lott and Mike Singletary, you know, and I really appreciated those guys, the way they played the game, and I kind of tried to follow their lead in the way I played the game. So I wasn't ready to give up football when I did, but overall, I felt like it was a good decision for my body after my career. So I'm still playing basketball and still running around in these fantasy camps. So I did something right.
You've remained quite active after retiring from baseball in 2006, a television analyst, and continued work in the Atlanta community with the Brian Jordan Foundation, started in 1998, and which creates and supports programs for children and their families. How did your visibility in the NFL and Major League Baseball, especially with the two teams in Atlanta, help in the development of your charitable organization?
Well, I mean, it keeps you relevant, and for me, to broadcast and keep my face out there, it gives me more ammunition to grow my foundation. And we've done a great job giving scholarships out each year. I write children's books, so we started literacy programs, get to speak in a lot of elementary schools and motivating and encouraging kids. So I think it's important that you keep your face out there. And I had a great opportunity with Fox Sports to stay local, which is important for me, to be there for my kids and also be in the communities and help these kids pretty much give them hope that they can be successful and they can dream big. That's my biggest motivation right now, I mean, my foundation. So I continue to stay in this community and go to other communities outside of Atlanta to help. I mean, that's my motivation, that's my drive. And thank God he gave me the talents to be visible and have the opportunity today to change others' lives.
With Brian Jordan as inspiration, the youth of the Atlanta area can dream big. As for the dreams of the two teams participating in the upcoming Super Bowl, Brian said he's picking the Patriots to win, but is pulling for the Seahawks and a fellow former Richmond resident, Russell Wilson. That's all for this edition of Baseball As It Was. I'm Brian Wright. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk with you next time.